Let's go, y'all. Assassin's Crew. Are you a real popper? Myself, Zai. Today we got Jay Smooth coming through in a little bit. What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing? Welcome to the live. As a reminder, all of these are posted on Instagram, but they're also posted as a podcast on the Funk and Focus Dance and Dialogue on Spotify. This is episode 7 today, and the rest of the episodes are already on the Spotify, so make sure to check those out as well. All right, I think Zai's already in here. We got the theme song going. Don't be scared of those illusions, y'all. Don't be scared. They didn't hurt nobody. Hey, let's go. Let's get Zion here. Hey, what's up, Zion? I'm good. Good. I'm listening to our theme song.
Yeah.
I know.
I already missed it.
It's so good. I'm starting to even get into the whole storyline. Everything that they're talking about in the verse is cool too. Yeah. How are you today, Zai?
Okay. I'm fine. Today is holidays in Argentina because a very important date. So there are mobilizations, or I don't know if that's the word, around the city and different acts because it's our memory day.
Like Indigenous People's Day?
Yep. No, it's like, I don't know the word, but you know where the government is taken by the militaries?
Yeah.
I don't know the
martial law.
That's in English. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. So they commemorate when that happened. I mean, not commemorates that because, of course, it wasn't legal thing. It's like we commemorate the people that was disappeared in that. It's very special.
Connected to the statues of the women that's near the vice president house, the pink house. Okay.
Yeah. You mean the mothers and the grandmothers?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very important date. And it's called Memory Day, something like that. Because we remember what we don't want to happen again. And it's a message from people like saying can't happen again, so we remember it. Never again. That's never why it's called that way, but but of course it's like a sad day,
because a lot of people disappeared, right? That was the whole thing. People disappeared when they I heard a little bit about that one. Last time I was there, because I spent a little time to go around, I remember hearing about that a little bit.
So, so that's happening here. Besides that, we are having autumn start, but it's a little hot.
So. Nice. This is what's happening here right now.
Wow!
I got the orange and the mint flavor now. I ordered it online. Yeah, on Amazon.
Really?
I think, I think on Amazon.
Wow. They are not even that
really
easy to get in here. Oh, sorry. I'm back now. I was like freeze.
Yeah,
maybe
you were. It was hard to hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I was saying that brand is not even a very popular one in here. So you can find it in every market or supermarket. Sometimes you do, but it's more like you are going to find it more at the places where you buy healthy food. Or organic
this is
food.
Verde Flor, green flower. That's the brand, right?
Yeah. I know it's weird, but the name is
green
weird.
Flower. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I wanted to try the
orange.
Other flavor because I tried the mint one. The orange is good too, but that, you know what? I don't think they're as strong as Rosamonte. You don't feel it as much from these.
No.
Yeah.
No, that one is very soft because it's made by a mix. Like it's a blended.
Yeah. Right.
A blend of herbs. So it's not only.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I can tell. I can. And I got used to the Rosamonte first. So that was like so strong. I was like, wow. I feel this like crazy. I'm so alert. And these ones are kind of like not giving me the Rosamonte effect. And I'm already like, oh, yeah, they're good. But I like.
Now you understand why I can drink it all day, because I don't drink Rosamonte.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because I drink the soft one.
Strong. Totally.
Yeah, right. But I have mine ready for later. And it's made by that brand, but the violet one.
Oh, okay. Violet?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, there's more flavors.
There are a lot. Like, I don't know, 5 or 6 different flavors. Do you like the orange one?
It's good, but I don't taste that much orange. Not really. I don't know. I tasted more mint in the mint one. This one, I feel like it's not as strong in the flavor. So it's kind of like, I feel like I'm drinking Rosamonte still, but it's just not as impactful. I don't know.
I prefer the minty one than the orange.
I would agree to that too.
Do you know you can put like the orange? What's the word?
Yeah, orange peel.
What's the word for the orange peel? Okay. You can put that on
that
your
sounds good.
They have one orange flavor because it's like imitating that.
Okay, got you. All right, I'm going to try that. I always get some new tips and tricks from you. I appreciate it. I'm gonna do it. So should we get into it today? Okay, let's do it. So this is episode 7. Are you a real popper? And I know 7 already, right? Pretty dope. We're gonna talk about teaching today. We have special guest Jay Smooth, who just got in here. What's up, Jay? So first, Zai and I are going to talk a little bit about 5 points. We came up with 5 bullet points that are basically not like these are the set rules, but just check-ins, like 5 check-ins to think about before you start teaching. Because, you know, it's a big deal, right? It's a big responsibility. So I think it's something that you don't want to just jump into without really thinking about it. So we created 5 bullets to do some check-ins, and we're going to go through those in a second. And then we're just going to open up the discussion with Jay and hear his story and go into like all things based around this dance and how it passes on and, you know, all the works of that. So yeah.
So of course this is based on our experience and as teachers and students, and something we talk about that you can write if you have another one, or if you agree or you don't agree with yes. these 5 points. So it's okay. I'm
okay,
going to start with the
let's
first
jump
one.
Right into it.
Okay. Oh, should I go like the number 1 or number 5? Anyway,
there's no order. Whatever.
Don't
you
have
feel.
An order, right? Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know the word for this. Like, you know, when you are at school and you haven't studied, and you have this little paper with
cheat sheet.
The answers. Do you have a name for that?
Because it's your little cheat sheet. There you go.
Yeah, I have my little cheat sheet. That's because it's in English. Sorry. Okay, so number being aware of where you learn what you're teaching. And you can ask yourself, have you made these things your own already?
Yeah.
Nice. I this one is like it's good to start with, I think. Very important for me, it's very important to know where did you get what you're teaching, and most important, if that you learn, you could already make your own thing, you know, like you are going to mix things that you've learned from different people. You don't have to make everything like, I came up with this new thing and have anything new I can teach because we are teaching something that it already exists, right? But I, as a student, I really like when I go to a class where the teacher is teaching something that he or she I wouldn't say invented, but something that they really create from the different things that already exist in that style or that
this
dance.
This is an important one. Like being aware of where you learn things helps you to properly credit your sources and cite sources. That's like definitely the professional thing to do, as well as like the proper respectful thing to do. And important for your own self-awareness, you know, that you're not just teaching something and you don't realize you got it from this person and you're erasing people in the process. Contributions matter, and people that shared with you matter to have your own thing. You know, you kind of are mixing things up, of course, so no idea is completely original, but the way that you may deliver it or the way that you teach it hopefully has your unique twist on it. I mean, if you haven't done that as a dancer, it's a little bit tough to be like, I'm going to teach exactly what the real thing that I learned from this teacher said it's supposed to be. And you're not really like owning your identity, and you're being possibly somebody else in through the education process. And it's problematic because it competes with the person that taught you something, you know, like it's just not, what you want to do, even as a dancer. It's like you got to try to find your feet, find your thing, so that like you can make your contribution. And I think like teaching so quick that like you're regurgitating like something that isn't so honest to you is definitely a little bit problematic. And not being able to cite sources is just, it just cuts the legacy, which kind of, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to show people you're part of something bigger. And so people that center themselves and, oh, just my thing, just me, it just came from nowhere. Like it kind of erases the stories, you know, and where things came from. So I think that's a good check-in, right? Be aware, where did I learn this from? I'm teaching this thing. Do I have my thing? What is my thing that I want to also incorporate into this picture? Of course, you're going to like be inspired and teach little pieces of things that people have inspired you by, but cite those sources and have your thing, you know, like just like your dance, it shouldn't be 90% someone else and 10% you. It should be, you know, 90% you, and you can pepper in things you've learned and tools, but like your vibe is your vibe. Hopefully you got that before you're sharing.
And there's nothing wrong, and it's super nice to me when I hear a teacher telling, oh, I learn this with these people, or this is the way that this teacher taught me how to do this. Like, it makes it more, I don't know the word, like, it gives a different value to what you're teaching, I think. Of course, it's very respectful to the people that taught you, right? But besides that, I think sometimes maybe people is afraid to say something like that at their classes, because there is this like fantasy that the teacher knows everything, and they have to know everything from nowhere. I don't know. As I'm your teacher now, and as the same way I have my own teachers, and I learned this from this person. So I'm adding this other thing because that's the value that my class has, or the difference that my class has from the class from this other.
I think like that attitude of like, you know everything, and it's just all your thing, and you're not, there's nothing connected to before. It's like, I do think it's the reason why people before you like get sick of new people coming and teaching. Mm-hmm. And I've felt situations where I'm like, damn, I kind of understand why some of the OGs don't like this shit. You know, like they stepped away. Like sometimes they just, people just take what they want, and then they don't care to cite their sources, and it's discouraging, you know. You feel used, and it sucks. You know.
It's true. So
yeah, that's that. Like, I think people should definitely think about that as a first strong and simple bullet point. I'm gonna jump to number two. So the next one is, have you considered other ways of inspiring and motivating people as well as growing the style you want to teach, but outside of monetizing from teaching? For example, right? Like, I meet a lot of people that are like, oh, I want to teach strutting, and they just like been doing it like 1 year. And, you know, like, I refer to a lot of those people like, hey, have you thought about starting a practice session? You know, have you thought of a jam session? Have you thought where you guys get together and watch videos together? Like doing something more casual that isn't right away, like I'm going to sell and monetize off of this. Because once you start doing that, like it just becomes a different thing, you know? Like people paying makes it a little bit more complicated. You have to be really ready for what is to come with teaching, you know, the responsibility, the accountability. And there's a lot of ways to get people excited about this stuff, outside of centering yourself as like, I'm the teacher and, you know, like I'm making money off of this and, you know, and then get competitive with other people right away that want to teach too. It's so complicated, like the monetization process. So it's like, have you considered other alternatives and ways to make people excited for these dances, you know? So I think that's a big one for me, the big one.
Yeah, that's the right idea for get people to know the style you want to make more popular, maybe, I don't know, at your community. If nobody knows that style, or there are a few dancers that they dance that, but there is not really like a community for that dance where you live, for example. I think that's really a good way to make it a bit bigger by making jams or practice, like free practice, open practice. Of course, maybe you can pay for the place between everybody for the room. But then you can make something as a practice and make people to be involved and more connected to that dance, or get to know that. Because of course it's also difficult to open the class for a style that there are no people
True.
dancing or knowing that style too, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's like more cultural thing. Like if you want to share what you have and you feel like nobody knows or just a few of them knows what it is. It's
Yeah.
more cultural
Yeah,
way
and a
of
lot, I
sharing
mean,
it.
all of 90%, I mean, probably all of our OGs didn't learn in the studio from one person they were paying. Like most people in me and Jay's generation, we like didn't really learn that much in a studio. That would be kind of a rare every once in a while, you know, like Pete and somebody would be teaching, but it wasn't all the time that that would be happening. So like you can really do this thing without, not that that process is bad, but I'm just saying like there's so much importance outside of the classroom, you know, and I think tuning into that is, it's a very important way to do it. It's super helpful, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if you are not teaching, I think this one would be a really good way to start sharing. But besides that, even if you are already teaching, it's very nice to include it in your classes, like maybe one special day where you can make an open jam, or after your class you can make a jam where people that is not your student can come, or that kind of things, because that part it's a bit missed at classes
For sure, for
sometimes.
sure. All right, number three, should we hit it?
Yeah, okay, I'm reading it. Okay, number three, am I connected? This is a question you can make yourself. Am I connected to the culture, and how will my mentors feel
Yeah,
about this?
I put that one. I put that one just because, like, first off, like, are you connected to the culture? Everybody should ask themselves that, or how are you connected to the culture? In what way? And that can be, you know, people, it can be the travels you've done and the people you've encountered. It can be being connected to a tradition bearer of the thing. It can be, you know, like having years in the culture and earning stripes. Like it can be a lot of things, but definitely asking yourself like, am I doing this thing? Am I really connected to this thing? You know, and I think it's just an important check-in at all times, even without the teaching thing. And the second thing I said is, how will my mentors feel about this? That doesn't have to be a mentor. That could be like those people that you're connected to of the culture that make you a part of this thing. But like if you have a mentor, of course, like that's how it's worked for me, right? With certain styles, like with Jukin, with strutting, with like what we do in urban artistry. Like I've been like investing in people, building relationships with people of the culture, and we have agreements. Like, I didn't just teach Memphis Juking because people liked it and I could. I taught it because Rico was like, you have the understanding of the basics, and we need help sharing this in these spaces and in this way. And we made agreements towards that. Like, I think it's important to just check in with people instead of just like, oh, I think I'm ready. Yeah, I'm doing it. It's like, well, you have hopefully support systems and people you're connected to check in with. And, you know, like if you are directly connected to like a root source person, like, and you work with them closely, like if you don't talk about it, you can also fill their lane. You know what I mean? Like if I'm the tutting guy, right? Which I'm not, I'm more like I do a lot of things, but if I was like just the tutting guy and then I had a mentee that was like, I want to do the tutting thing too. And it's like before you teach it, you never talked to me about like teaching all this material that I shared with you. Like I would hope that the relationship would be a little bit closer than that. So that's what I strive for is relationship building with students. So it's like we can talk about things and build trust. But like if you just start to teach tutting, now we're in competition. We're in the same lane in terms of like what we share. And especially if you're sharing what I share, that's kind of odd, right? If you haven't gone through step number one, have you made these things your own? Then we're sharing the exact same thing and we're in each other's lane, and then it becomes this competitive thing, which is very strange. So I think it's really important, like being connected to tradition bearers, asking how do you feel, what would be helpful, how can I contribute? It's important to ask how can you contribute in a healthy way. If it is a thing that you want to teach, there's so many ways to be collaborative with like your mentors and people you're doing things with outside of just doing what you want in a way that competes with people that have invested in you and taken care of you. So, you know, that's not always the case, but sometimes this does happen. So I think it's like, it's something that worked for me personally, like checking in, you know, with strutting, I do a lot of teaching the routines. You know, Pop-Tart felt more comfortable with that, and I feel comfortable with that. So that's what I've been doing a lot more lately, you know. And when these things change, then they change as they evolve. But yeah, so that's one thing that's worked for me.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that sometimes it depends on your context. For example, we were talking about in places like Argentina many years ago or some years ago, maybe there was nobody teaching some styles, so some people start teaching those styles maybe even before they were totally prepare, but just because there was nobody doing that, it was kind of
Sure.
better than nothing, right? And I think it's cool anyway because it starts something, right? But what I would like to say now, it's like now we know we have all these opportunities to be connected with the whole world. I think it's very nice to try to find and create those connections with people, even though we are in different countries. So like using that tool to if you are the teacher at your place, because maybe there's nobody before or not that much, anyway, trying to find a connection with maybe a mentor or somebody that you feel connected because you like what they're doing or because you know they have a lot of history and experience and try to connect by internet. I don't know, like or by internet. There are many classes, but you can also talk. I feel that's very nice way to have that connection, even if you don't have the opportunity to travel or to bring that people. And anyway, that would be another very nice way to contribute.
Contribute.
Very hard.
I like that. That's a good one.
Like finding to bring those people to your place, or making bigger connections, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, like this. Like, maybe not bringing them by person, but in another way, using this tool.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The internet.
Yeah, no, now is an easier time than ever. You know, even when I started, it was so hard to find information. Mm-hmm. I was on the East Coast. It was hard to connect with people from the West Coast.
Even being in the same country. So you can imagine how it was like here or other country, but now
you can make it's important, connection. You know, like the relationship building. I know I say that like I'm a broken record, but relationship building, connection, like connect with people, you know, like collaborate with people, you know, like work together. Like that's like one of the things that sucks sometimes about like our world with street dance is so competitive, the market's so thick, and people just like tear each other down or compete with each other in toxic ways and then justify it just because it's like, I gotta get this little bit of money, and it's like, yeah, but you could be building with that person that inspired you or someone you came up with. Like I think I just want to encourage collaboration and people working together and having conversations to not compete with each other, but to like help each other out, you know, work together. No, it's not easy. Yeah. People, it's hard to work together, but it's better. It's a better way to try.
Yeah.
It's a better way to try to move forward is to try to work together, to collaborate, to check in with mentors, to like, yeah. So anyway, that's that. Should I move? Yeah, that was number three. Again, no specific order. Let's go to number four. All right. So this is kind of in line with that a little bit. Number four is, before teaching, ask yourself, am I ready to be held accountable for the lessons I teach and the information I share? Yeah, that's a good question to ask, right? Because once you start teaching and making money off of it, a lot changes. You are in a leadership role. You're responsible. Like students have responsibilities too. We can talk about that, but still as the teacher, you really set the tone. If you teach your students to not be like, oh, I worship you, your way is the greatest. Like if you don't, you can't play into that. You can't let your ego take over with that. You got to let people be them. You got to share in a way that's like responsible to people and takes care of people. So the teacher has a high level of responsibility. You can share the wrong information. Many teachers have done that, like coming back and being able to say, I'm still learning, guys. Like it's important to know that you might come back later and have to say, hey, I got that one wrong. You know, like that thing is so important. Like, and if you're teaching, just like know that you have a huge responsibility. People will try to keep you accountable. Now, are you ready for people to ask those questions? Oh, well, who did you learn from? Are you connected to the culture? Are you crediting your sources? Oh, you look like a copy of that. Like, you know, oh, you're teaching my shit. Like people will say the things that they're going to say to protect their, you know, what's going on with them or how they feel. They're going to say it. So I think it's like, ask yourself, are you ready to be responsible and accountable and in a more of a leadership role? So that's another big one.
Yeah, because you as a teacher, you can change a lot the mindset of a person that it's learning to dance and or practicing dance for the good,
yes,
or for something that it's not that good, like something you say can affect that person in a non-expected way, and I don't know, like turn down their what's the word, like,
yeah,
how they feel about their dance, yeah, their dance, or the other way. So I think that's very important. Yeah. Like, you have to know that when you are a teacher. Like, okay, because I'm the teacher, I'm just showing the movements and that's all. It's not like, it's not that. Just that, you know, you are building a relationship, even if you don't want to, just because they are going to meet with you maybe once a week. And they are, in some way, you're looking towards the world, like your teacher. You respect your teacher and you're like, sometimes you admire that person. So if you are the teacher, you have to know that and don't feed.
Please. Yeah, we need less of that. I'm going to hope that when Jay gets on here, we're going to talk more about that. But we really need less of that. That, like, narcissistic egomania. Like, and these dances, people can fall into that more easily. You know, it's like, it's easy. People like, oh, you're this, you're... It's like people really fall into their ego, and it's crazy how righteous people can get, and it's crazy how a lot of people aren't holding themselves accountable for the things that they're actually doing. You know, like, it's okay to be like, oh damn, even like years later, oh, I should have said that this is something that came from someone else and I didn't make it up, you know, like, just really being honest about that. But you can really build close-minded people. You can build people that hate other students. You can build people that hate other teachers. You can build people that lose their identity in trying to be you because you think your thing is so the best of this and that, and people are trying to, oh, I guess I have to do it like that. I have to be as much like them as I can. You know, you can really misguide people really horribly.
You can make people stop dancing with something you're saying if you are not nice and respectful enough with your words. You don't know how the person is going to take what you are saying, or if you're rude, or if you're telling people that that's wrong, or they can't do it that way. I don't know, like, there are different ways to tell things when you're a teacher, that it doesn't, that you are not going to correct the technique or different things. You are going to tell when something is not as correct as you want it to be, but in different ways that are always nice ways to me. Like, if you are telling me I'm not doing it right, you should be you should be with the students and with but that's very a special place where people is really
for sure
listening to you.
Okay, I'm gonna jump to the last point so we can get Jay in here. You wanna say the last one, Zai?
Okay. Okay, number 5. Why do you feel you should be teaching? What is your motivation?
Yes.
What is motivating your energy? Nice. I like this one. This is sometimes it's hard to answer yourself because I think it's easier to think what do not motivate you, maybe, to find what motivates you. But I think we wrote this one because now there is a lot like a feeling that everybody feels or think that they have to teach in certain moment of their process. And we feel that teaching and dancing are like very different I would say like careers or jobs. Like even though you are teaching dance, you can be more like a teacher, like, or you can be more like a dancer, or maybe you are both, and that's cool too. But it's like different job, not because you like dancing, you have to teach or you are going to be a teacher. And on the other hand, I also think it's like the easiest way to start working, maybe, in dance. Yeah. So many people start that, which is cool. We are not saying that you can't teach, like being paid for it. That should be that way. But if that's your only motivation, exactly. It's kind of weird, maybe. Like I know, maybe if you are just starting teaching because you need a job, I feel that's not enough for doing that job, because it's like being a teacher has to be something you like. Otherwise, it's not a job you can do if you don't like it.
That's for sure.
People work at places that they don't like, and they can't do it right anyway. But teaching,
a little more, it's a big responsibility. Yeah, I think the purpose is highly important, you know, like, and at least that should be maybe the most important thing to check in on yourself with, is like, am I just doing this because I need the cash? Am I just doing this because I'm mad that I'm not the coolest dancer in my city and I want to make me the cooler dancer than them? Like, is it a popularity contest for you? Or do you actually care about the culture, where this thing came from, sharing in healthy ways to make communities grow stronger and better? You know, so I'm going to bring Jay in because we had him waiting for a bit. And we'll just open this thing up. So those were our five points. We're going to make a little flyer for that later and post it so you guys can see the 5 points. But I'm going to invite Jay in here.
There are another, right? With another top five we already made. You can check them.
Yo, Jay, what up?
Hi.
What's up, man?
Good
talking points.
Good check-ins. I agree.
Yeah,
with a lot of, that's great. Yeah,
thanks, bro. Yeah, what did you have any thoughts like off the top already? Hearing some of that, I feel like you probably had a lot.
I was ready to talk on almost every point, but the last one, the best one, I think it's really good, because, you know, I think being a teacher, you have to love doing it, right? You have to enjoy it. And I think for the most part, I see people maybe wanting to be a teacher for the cash, for money, for other benefits. And I feel like, you guys kind of hit it on the head right there, because that's a good question to have. It's a good question to ask yourself. You know, me personally, being a teacher, I didn't like being a teacher. I didn't like teaching, and it fell into my lap. Mm. But I care about people. So the response of like changing somebody's life made me like being a teacher. Like it kind of flipped the reverse. I didn't like it. So like, there's all, but yeah, you can go ahead and that was just something I just wanted to add on top of that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. So I guess, I mean, maybe we could just start with like your journey with teaching. Like you said, you didn't like it at first.
No.
What was it like? What was the whole process? Why didn't you like it? And then like, how has your teaching journey just developed over the years?
Well, I guess I didn't know how to teach actually for a long time. It's a, for, and I'm okay to say that, because I feel like teaching is a learned trait. It's a learned skill.
Yeah.
You know, I was so focused on the battle and on my artistry that I didn't know how to break down what I was doing because I was in my creative bubble. And to me, it was more personal. Like that's my personal items kind of thing. And of course I learned from other dancers, other OGs, respected OGs, but I didn't know how to teach. And the way I found that out was I had a class in China, and it was around 2007. And there was a lot of people in my class, and about 200 or something. It was like filled up to outside. And I didn't know what to show them because I've never taught a class before that. So I was just soloing and just like, oh yeah, you can kind of do this. And like, it's like, I was like doing some speed changing and stuff. And I realized that humbled me after that experience. I realized, oh shit, I don't know how to teach because I've never done it before. And yeah, like I guess over time, learning more about the dances that I do and really diving deeper into like the why instead of like what I want to show or what I want to show, what concept, what idea, what move I want to show to people. Like, well, why am I doing this? What is it stemming from? Where is it coming from? And when I started asking myself those questions, I started being able to break it down for myself. And then I was asking questions to, you know, Poppin' Pete, to Poppin' Taco, to all my OGs, and asking them like to break it down, Junior Boogaloo. And just kind of like over time learning the why, right? Learning why they did it back like that back in the day, or why they move like this, or why they twist like this, or why, what that came from, what the Cobra came from, you know, like all these things. Mm-hmm. So the why helped me answer the questions, and then I was able to grasp an understanding, and then slowly, little by little, develop more into the teacher role. It didn't really start heavily until like during COVID, I think around that time, teaching a lot more. And even before that, I didn't really like teaching that much. I was just doing it because people wanted to learn from me. And once I started noticing that I was actually, once you start to see your student getting really good and getting better, there's a feeling that like, it's almost like a little brother or a little sister, like just learning how to do something new. And I think that part of teaching excited me because seeing them grow and develop, that's when I started to like it. Other than like just teaching a class or whatever, when I invested in like just a few students at a time, just a few, like really mentoring, really being a big brother, and then seeing them grow and then developing a relationship with them, like outside of dance where I can hang out, can have food, can talk about, you know, life, can, you know, help them with some questions they have. But developing that relationship made me like teaching a little bit more. Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah. How do you personally, like we talked about like being accountable as a teacher and like not like teaching, you know, like hate and like all these bad habits and things like that, like disrupt and like divide people. Like, how do you, like you talked about like having those relationships, that big brother, little brother type thing. Like how, what's the process for you to help people keep an open mind and like move like them and not just be you and not like, you know, like what types of things do you do for that?
Well, I like to say this in almost every class. I always say like, I don't have all the answers and you can do it this way or you can do it another way. But this is the way I do it. These are the tools that have created my movement. These are the things that I'm giving you is inspiration from, you know, my elders, but it's also an accumulation of things that I've developed over time, over practice, over thinking about, over systems that you know, I developed over time, but based off of we all get something from someone, no matter what. We all are inspired to inspire. We're all inspired by something, and then that idea shoots off another idea, so on and so forth. So what I always like to leave my teaching like an open book. Like, I have this, and this is one way, but there's many ways in this tree. There's many ways of learning. So, you know, just kind of being open like that, and letting them know that I don't have all the answers. Because something that I see a lot is a lot of people who want a place in the scene and want a place in the dance and a name, they'll act like they're the messiah of the street dance and act like what they do is the only way. And that part about being a teacher, that part really bothers me, which is why I always campaign and always talk about this stuff and talk about how, yo, one way is not the only way. When our OGs were dancing back in the day, everybody had their own identity. Everybody had their own voice inside the street dance. So we can't act like we're the only voice, because back in the way the dance started, there was many voices in an accumulation. So, you know, just being really open about it like that. And I think that's helped me a lot. And that's helped me, like, it's helped them too.
Yeah.
Because I can help them, like, if they like Boogaloo really, really a lot, like, okay, I got this, but like my stats is like, if it's Boogaloo, like it's right here. If it's waving, it's like way over there. But if it's like animation, it's like right here.
Right.
You know, there's stats.
Yeah.
With Boogaloo, I can't really give you too much, but I got you on this much. But let me tell you who can. Let me lead you, guide you to somebody who can help you. So just kind of being open like that, and being open to other teachers who can give them what they want. Yeah.
Yeah. I, on that thing about being the messiah, like, I was just spending time with somebody today that had learned from someone that, like, was teaching in that way, you know, like, he was talking about, like, yeah, like, if I didn't dance like this person that I was inspired by, like, they would stand there and not cheer, you know, like, if I didn't think like them or try to dress like them, they would, you know, call it, like, you know, they would clown it subtly. You know, like, it was like, I would know if my dancing was good only if that one person was cheering when I was dancing, you know, like, and the thing is, the dangerous side, right? Like, it's good to have mentors. It's good to be inspired. It's good to move a little bit like your teacher. Hopefully your teacher's helping you also find your feet through that process. But it's like the dangerous side to, like, going so deep into this is the messiah's way, you know, this is the best way, it's better than ever, is that you become so much of that person's mind that if anything happens with that relationship, or if you realize, oh damn, I'm being manipulated, you're stuck. Like, so that's how he was saying he felt. Like, I'm like trying to unlearn, I'm trying to redefine and find myself, because I'm so consumed by what this person would think, how this person would like the dance, the way that they would cheer on this, the type of music playlist they listen to, like, and now he's like, he never encouraged me to find my identity. So now I have to restart the whole process over. My goal was to be so much like them that I lost myself completely. And to me, that's like the dangerous side. Like, now he's like disconnected from this person, but it's on his body. And he's like, now has to go through this whole unlearning process or relearning to find himself again through the dance. So I think that's why I think it's so important for teachers to encourage students. Of course, we're going to learn the movements, and of course, we're going to learn the concept. Like, if I'm teaching somebody, you're going to learn the ways that I think, the ways that I feel, the traditions and movements I'm stronger at, the way that I mix things. But at the same time, like, most importantly, I'm going to dance with you, and I'm going to say that, you know, you did that right there, that was sick, like, and I'm going to ask them what music they like, what things inspires them, what movement, what did they do before they were popping, you know, like, did you do other styles, like, because my whole thing now is like, I don't want to be in that thinking anymore. Like, I don't want to be around any of that thing. Is like, this is the only way. This is the shit. This is it. It's only this way. Mm-hmm. It's like, it traps people, you know, and it breaks their confidence. And then they have to reevaluate themselves. So I just wanted to throw that out there too.
That's a good way. I also like, if they're not, for me, if they're not absolutely beginners, because, you know, sometimes beginners, they don't know what they need yet. Mm. But what I'll do is I throw out the question before I even take on a student, I'll have them write down at least five things that they like about dance, and at least five things like what styles they like, or what type of movement they like, or I try to dig into their mind and figure out what it is that naturally makes them excited about dance. Because everybody's different. Like, I have some students who hate popping, but they love waving. And like, they just don't want to pop. And they don't, and I don't feel like they have to, because I want them to do what they love, you know?
Yeah.
So like these kind of things, like asking questions like, well, write it down for me. And then I'll have a call with them and just want to talk to them and try to figure out how their brain works and what makes them excited about dance, and figure it out from there. Like, okay, you like footwork. Oh, you like fluidity. You like footwork. You like grooves, or just different things. And if I can't give them all these things, I'll give them the amount of knowledge that I can, and then I'll guide them to where they wanna be and to where they should be. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, let's go to the next question for you. So I've been hearing like people talk about like getting rid of the word teacher and student, or getting rid of the word mentor and mentee, that it's like, you know, the dance in schools is a bad thing. It's not a part of the culture, and like the teacher student mentality is toxic. I have a lot of opinions on that, but I want to see what you think about that, you know, like just in general, like, because it's kind of where we're at, right? It's like,
it's only toxic. Where we're at. It's only toxic if the teacher's toxic.
Right.
It's only, I mean, that's kind of the easiest answer for that. Yes. For me, it's only toxic if the teacher needs to be needs to take therapy instead of being a teacher. Some of these teachers need to jump in therapy like right away, before they're able to even express, because there's dark holes in their inside their soul that are lingering, and they're coming out inside the way they teach, the way they present themselves, and the way, you know, passive aggressiveness and within their students or certain things like that. So I feel like it's only toxic if the actual teacher has internal issues that need to be resolved. And that's a question for the teacher, you know, to ask himself.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like, that's one of those things. It's like, of course students have responsibilities, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think, like, if the teacher sets the tone of, like, I have students that, like, I can tell they're that type of student, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, I gotta do it exactly like you, and like, if I don't say, well, that's cool, but like, hey, you know, like a year minimum, like, or like, we got to start right away, let's tweak this, like, if I don't encourage the mentality of like, hey, you're you and that's dope, like, I it's so, it's responsibility on the teacher. You're right, like having that, setting that standard to be more healthy is we're not going to get rid of teachers and students. This is where we're at. This dance has got teachers, it's got students, it's had, even in the past, big brothers, big cousins, you know, like, it's always had teacher, student, mentor, mentee. I don't think we're going to erase it. I don't think we're going to get this dance out of schools. I agree. We just need the teaching standard to be better, you know, like, if, again, like we said in our list, if you're a teacher, you got to be responsible, you got to be accountable. If you need therapy, like, take care of that, you know, like, it shouldn't be something that you're bringing in to, your students will follow you. You know what I mean? They will follow you. So it's like the teacher really has to be ready to be responsible and accountable, or else it's just going to be toxic no matter what.
For me, like if I find my student, one of my students, like, yeah, you have to be observant as a teacher too. If I find one of my students, like, getting a little negative or like hating on another dancer, like I try to tell them, like, yo, stop that. Don't do that. Mm. Don't be one of those. Don't do that. Can you do it? No? Okay. Then you can't hate on it. if you can't do what you're hating on, then you can't be a hater. You can't hate on these things.
Yeah.
And, or like in another aspect, like, I have this really comfortable, funny relationship with my students where they'll do something of mine. Well, obviously they're going to do it, but they'll do that. They'll do something. And I'll start laughing. And then me and all the rest of the students, we look at each other and we do like this, like, ah, like that. Or we'll be like, ah, that's dope, but show me you. Flip it. Show me you.
Yeah.
And they'll start laughing, and we'll be joking on the spot because they know, like, oh shit, I did another one of my teacher's moves. I got to flip it. But we have this comfortable relationship where I can call them out on everything. And like, I make it really open that way to call them out and like, yo, like, mm-hmm. you got to show me you, like, you have to take it, flip it. Or if they're negative about somebody else, like, I'll check it right away. Like, yeah, just being very observant of them as people, not on and off the dance floor. I think it's important because there's different levels to a student and a teacher, right? You have your mentorship, whereas like you're taking them under your wing and you're giving them a little bit of extra care because you want to see them grow.
Yeah.
And you want to see them thrive in the dance, and you see something special in them. And then there's students who just come to class.
Yep.
They come to your studio when you teach, they mm-hmm. come to, and you know, none of them is right or wrong. You know, the student might have to have 9-to-5 job and not be able to put that much attention into learning. You know, it's all based on the student, but there's different levels to it. And I don't even know where I was going with that, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
No, but it was very nice that just you were saying you encouraged them to show you who they are. And that's not that common, I think, at class. That I really like to listen to that. Because sometimes teachers, even though they are not saying that you should do it as the way they are doing it, even though they are not saying that, that doesn't mean that they are encouraged people to be them. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's important to say it, like, not only telling them, but also telling them that that's a good thing, and that's, to me, that's kind of one of the like.
Say it one more time.
You're back. Say it one more time.
I think that's also a very important part of these dances. Like, if you are studying another dance, let's say ballet, they don't want you to be different because you are into a ballet and we should look all the same way. But in this dance, that does not have any sense. It's like you're not teaching the essence of these social dances if you're not saying that people should be who they are at dance. So that's weird when that's not, it's not saying as that clear. So that's what I was saying, that I like that.
I think it's easier. Really, I think it's easier for you know, a teacher to be manipulative and like only do this way and my way to than the other way, because I feel like you're leaving room for students to be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, that's a just the way it works for me, because I don't want to say that's the best way, but just the way it works for me, it's better that way. It's gotten me less, I mean, not a tons of people who want to learn and from me, but everybody who is with me has the right mentality that resides with my type of energy. And it's a very warm relationship, yeah, rather than being very militant and very like, oh, okay, my teacher's the God and the best and master. Mm. I don't want that. And I don't expect that, because I'm still a student with them. I'm still learning, because I'm still practicing every day. I'm still in my backyard for how many years, like working on something new for, you know, it's been over 28 years and I'm still doing the same thing. You know, maybe not as much time as when I was a kid, but it's still up there. It's still up there. And yeah, so I'm still a student as well. And I feel like it's important for the student to know that their teacher is also still a student.
Yeah.
Their teacher is also still trying to be better, trying to grow. Just for example, one of my little bros just popped in here right now, and he's a good example. Is I watched him dance the other day, and the things that he was doing, I was like, man, I can't do that.
Mm.
And it inspired me to, like, yesterday I was like, damn, I need to try to do what he did. I'm trying to bite his, his stuff, you know. And it's dope. It's a dope. They're pushing me now, also. And I'm okay to tell them that, and like, yo, you're teaching me too, actually.
That's dope. I love that too. Yeah, I feel like that's why the kind of like the relationship building side is so important, and like being more like connected and mentorship. It's like you can be comfortable to just be like, yeah, we're also inspiring each other. Maybe have a little more experience in these things, but like, I'm still encouraging you to be yourself, and you're doing new things. And now that energy is like, yeah, like mixing up, you know, like, and so like, it's healthy that way when you were like actually just like inspiring each other back and forth. Maybe one person's guiding that experience or has more experience in it, but it's like dope when it becomes that thing. Yeah. And I feel like that's how we create a vibe too with our students, where it's like, oh shoot, I could be myself. I'm giving my ideas and it's appreciated. But I love that, you know, that was a great point, Jay, just like remaining a student and actively reminding people of that. Like, yeah, I'm still learning. Like, I try to do that too in my classes. Like, this is what I'm working on, guys. Like, I'm doing some of this stuff and I'm sharing those ideas with you, but it's because this is something that I feel I need to do better. You know, like telling people where I'm at in my process to like equal at least the playing field of like, we're all on this dance journey together. You know, like we're all still learning. We're all at different points and growing, and, you know, like not making it so much of that hierarchy thing. Yeah, I think, what else did you say? The thing about the teacher, like you gotta be careful, like that you don't go so much into your ego that when people come with that energy that you enable it, you know, like it's like, oh yeah, they are telling me I'm the best, I am the greatest, like, so that ego really has to be in check when those situations pop up,
yeah,
or else it creates that scenario that we're talking about. And I think, yeah, that's one thing that I think people have some trouble with. It's like, yeah, just remembering that this thing is a bit more about that, you know, like just relationships, connecting with each other, inspiring each other, uplifting people, the conversations outside of the class, like, and here's what I was going to say, empowering them to be themselves is also scary. It's easier to be manipulative and keep making them be like you, because when you empower people to be themselves, then what is their reason to stay following you, paying your thing? You know, so that's the thing that you have to just accept when you're being a good teacher and a good guide, is like, I'm going to empower you so that you feel confident. You know, like some people teach people to be worried what their teacher thinks and scared. But if you could teach your students to feel good about themselves, like, yeah, yeah, you don't know what they're going to do, but at least you're empowering them. And hopefully your relationship's good enough that you'll take care of each other, even when that person's like, yeah, I'm the shit too. You know, like, it all, that's why I think the connection is so important.
It also benefits, for me, it's like this, like, this is what I remember Skeet saying, like, the dance is bigger than all of us. Mm-hmm. And when I think of those words, what I think about is, what I'm teaching is like, if I empower my student to be better than me and to be better than what he was yesterday, and to really like listen to his inner voice, listen to, you know, his strengths, and shine, and absolutely shine. When they shine, if you're giving them this power and also helping guide them to that, that's going to come back to you in a different way. You're going to, as a teacher, it's going to come back to you in a different way. They might tell everyone, you know, I've got this from Jay Smooth. If it wasn't for him, or if it wasn't for Future, I wouldn't be here. And I'm really thankful for their teachings, or, you know, and that makes you as a teacher feel good. Yeah. Or it just makes, you know, things come back in a different way, or not even that, maybe just watching them shine later on when you're a lot older, and seeing them be a world champion or something, like all these things, to know that you helped that journey in some way, I feel like that's also healthy and also good for you as a teacher. And I feel like you might even, you know, be able to continue teaching more, because they're going to refer you to someone who helped them. Mm-hmm. And it just, the ladder of help just keeps flowing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, if you're a teacher that talks about like who helped you, it encourages your students to also do the same. I think some teachers are scared to do that. You know, it's like all about them, but I think it's actually, if you act like that and teach people, they'll do the same thing to you, because mm-hmm. you set that standard, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it makes more sense to just be like, yeah, these are my inspirations. This is who I'm connected to. I got this from this person. This I tweaked in this way. This is my idea. Boom, boom, boom. Like, then it sets a standard for students. Oh, shoot, let me pay it back. Let me say where I got this from and give that credit, you know?
Yes, sir.
And I have a question for both of you. Do you think that because it's I was thinking about what you were saying, that sometimes it's not easier for the teacher not to be that open and not to encourage people to be themselves. It's not only easier for the teacher, it's also easier for the student. So I feel sometimes that's the way to those students, because I feel this way, I don't know if you feel the same, but if you open that possibility at your class, then there's going to be people that are not comfortable with that, maybe, or they don't know how to do it, or that kind of things, and they do not want to keep diving into that, so maybe they do not keep going to your class, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's also easier for the students to go and copy, right? So it's kind of a formula to keep those people at your class sometimes, I think. Like, the other way, it's more complicated, or I don't know, I won't say complicated, but it's maybe more work for students too, so that makes your class less popular, let's say.
I feel like you're right. I just feel like once you, like, as a teacher, I don't know, like, it just, for me, it felt like this kind of method of thinking worked for me, like, whereas, like, I stopped worrying about who's coming and going, and I just put my foot on the gas and just keep going, and the ones who really want to be by your side and really want to learn from you, they're going to be there, and as long as you're, like, doing it with all the right intentions, like the right people are going to come and stay and then not worrying if they're coming or going, just like you're still going and you're putting your foot on the gas and you're doing everything to the best of your own ability. I found like when I started doing that a lot more, everything got better with everything. Yeah. In life, not just teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean too, Zai. Like, it's kind of like the idea of like why people are a little scared to freestyle, so they might go to choreography first. Mm. It's like that self-awareness and like the idea of like showing who you are, the vulnerability. To be vulnerable is scary.
Yeah.
So it might even be easier to just follow someone that's like, I'm the shit. You know, it's like, oh, thank you. You have an identity for me. I didn't want to show how I was. You know, like, so like, it's kind of, yeah, it's a weird connection that happens. Like the people that are like, I'm the shit, attract the people that are like, I'm scared to show who I am. Like, take me away. Show me the identity that I should be. And like, I've worked with all types of students and I've gone through phases as a teacher, but where I'm at right now is I'm really like Jay said, putting my foot on the gas with like teaching in this open way and allowing and encouraging students to not do that. Like, I'm like, this is what we do. We do this, you do it in your own way. And that's the standard. Like, if you're coming to me for the perfect strut or the perfect tut, like, I'll help you, but I won't let you be me. I'm just not doing it. Like, when I feel that energy on a student, immediately like, hey, we gotta talk about this. Yeah. Let's open this conversation, you know, because I don't want to attract that energy and I don't want to be that energy. I'm really done with that, y'all. Mm-hmm. I did years of trying myself to be that student. Oh, okay, I'll learn the real way from you. And it's like, I'm unlearning now. I'm relearning. Oh, this is who you show what you do, you know, like, so that thinking really can set you back as a student and like enable bad habits of teachers. So I'm really like, nah, we don't do that. Like, I, you know, like, that's just not what we do. Like, I want to see who you are day one, day two, immediately, you know, like, so I'm like, I'm really on that right now.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Yes. Nice. Yes. What else we got? You got any other questions, Zai, for Jay?
No.
Oh, I got one.
But
what have you? I know like you've had a lot of pushback over the years, just in general. I like, bro. People don't realize how hard it is to like try to do good shit year after year after year. Like I've had a lot of pushback too. So I just wanted to give you some space to be like, yeah, I got other people might want to do good things with teaching, but be scared or keep going as a dancer, but they want to quit. It's like, to do this for real, you have to learn to get through pushback, you know, like, and stand on your own. So if you don't mind, you know, just talking about that process for you, like how you kept going and things that came at you and for whatever reason, I don't know, just whatever you want to say about it.
I think, you know, since I can remember, I think I've had a really strong inner voice, and I think that inner voice has always kept me on my path. And for me, it was always like, I lead with my heart first. And through my journey as a dancer, I've had a lot of people on the side trying to dictate what I'm doing and trying to find excuses for what I was doing wrong or what I wasn't doing. And that as a student or as a young generation, younger dancer, and I'm talking about, you know, high school to after high school, I'm talking about like 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, that could have messed up my, that could have messed me up. That could have threw me in a spiral of different directions. But I think the best quality that got me through that was me being able to follow my heart all the time. I love waving. I've always loved waving, and that's always been like my go-to. That's always been my foundation. And when I started, a lot of people used to say, well, you're not going to win battles with that, or you're not, where's, that's good, but where's your pop? That's good, but where's the funk? That's, oh, that's dope. You got some dope tricks. Oh, those are tricks. Like just all these things that are just like, da 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 da. And no matter how, and also I want to let everybody know, no matter how successful and what areas I've reached as a dancer, I mean, I've done a lot, and it didn't matter. The success does not matter. Right. People still always have something to say. True. No matter what you do, there's always something that somebody's going to say. And the best thing for you to do, and the best thing that I did, was just really listen to my voice and like, well, okay, I love doing that, and I'm going to continue loving that no matter what anybody says, because that's what I like. Because nobody can dance for you. Nobody can dance for me. And that's some of the pushback that I got throughout the years. I mean, I'm talking like threats on YouTube. Like, I'm fat. I need to lose weight. I need to I still get hate mail till this day. Like random Instagram messages from people with fake accounts. Like, you got smoked by blah blah blah, and or you're fat, or you're this and you're that. And you know, like those things, like they don't feel good. They don't feel good. But me being able to listen to myself and like pick myself up time and time again, and prove not only to myself but prove to everybody else that look, I am good, and I'm not gonna keep going. That nothing that you do can stop me from my process, and that's pretty much how I dealt with that. Is just that inner voice, picking myself up and just keep going, putting your foot on the gas, and little by little, like, you stop worrying about what everybody else is saying, and you start really seeing the clear vision for yourself.
Yeah, I feel that. Like, on the other end of that is a confidence that's hard to explain. When you get through those things, it actually builds your confidence. You're like, yeah, I could get through that. I could get through this. This doesn't matter. Like, I know exactly what you're saying. I found more confidence on the other side of those situations, even though they were hard to get through. It's like, damn, now I really want to keep doing me, like, so much more.
There's a misunderstanding also that, like, goes in that, because, you know, for me personally, like, maybe that confidence of me in a battle or just the way I present myself and the way I'm comfortable with, you know, dancing to R&B, like sexual music or something. And like, people are like, what the fuck is that? But that's just, I'm just doing what I like, and I'm confident enough to do what I want, no matter what my body type is, no matter what. And I feel like that is also misread sometimes, or like, I don't like him because he's got a big ego. But actually, what people don't understand is, like, it's not ego. It's me having to always constantly pick myself up from the ground. I had to develop this huge wall.
Yeah.
To not let all these opinions of me
get
through. And that's what that is. It has nothing to do with ego. It's actually just confidence that I had to build over time because of everybody trying to tear me down.
Yeah. And imagine without that, how many people would have just defined you for you. You know, it's like, you have to do that. Otherwise, the world tells you who to be and how to act and completely controls and manipulates you. I know exactly how you feel, bro. It comes from every fucking angle in all types of weird shapes and forms. And if you don't stand by, like, your shit and believe in who you are, like, the world will just treat you however they please. You know, people will treat you however you please. So I get that 100%. And one quote I wanted to mention, yeah. I heard T-Bug say this the other day, kind of what you were saying kind of made me think about it. But he was saying with dance, like, and even life, he said, you know, the passion will get you through the pain. Like, if you really love and you're really passionate about a thing, like, I mean, in life, you're going to deal with pushback and pain and fucked up situations, but it's the passion and the love that keeps you going and keeps you from quitting. Mm. And I related to that when he said that. I was like, yeah, that's why I don't quit, because I just love it too much. You know, like.
Oh, yeah. And that also goes back to, and like this all, like, just to finalize too, this, what everything we're talking about, this also goes back into the reasons of why we teach the way we teach and why we are the way we are. It's a reflection of either the learning from your past of what you've been through and not wanting your students to go through similar things, or just like just being open and just being something that you, giving them something that you never had. And for me, like, going back, tying it all together is like being told what I needed to do and how I needed to do it and all these different things that are trying to stop me from me being myself. I never want to do that for any student or for anybody who's learning with me. I always want to keep it their choice and let it be their, let them choose by themselves, and let them also like know that I'm there to help guide them with an unselfish mindset.
So.
Yeah, I think it's like teaching the class you would love to have when you didn't have it, when you didn't have it. Trying to pass what you would love to have in that moment.
Yeah. Nice. Hey, that was great, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. That was a great talk.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. That was dope. I hope you save this, and like, you know, maybe you can help, the conversation could help somebody else, and you know, like, just maybe, you never know. You know, we are able to like something that Zai said before is like, where we have these tools to connect to the world now a lot more than before. Yeah. And you know, you never know who's listening and you never know who you can help is. So everything you put out there, it should be, or a good thing would be to be with the best intention. So I think that's what this conversation is. It's with the best intentions to see growth in people, in teachers and students, in mentalities.
Yeah. That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, so just to, you know, let everybody know, this is going to be on the Spotify, the Funk and Focus Dance and Dialogue Spotify. And of course, this video will still be up on Funk and Focus. But yeah, appreciate you coming through, bro. Sure. Still working on having you out here for May 27th for Book of Styles. And I'm trying to convince Zai to get out here.
So oh, yeah.
I'll talk to y'all later about it. But
bro, still, I don't know why I thought you meant April 27th. I'm not going to be here, bro. May 27th, I'm going to be here.
No,
far away. Yeah, some reason I thought you were gonna, that it was April. That's why I was asking you on the chat, like, hey, are you still doing the thing? Because I was like, oh damn, he hasn't told me anything. I thought it was April 27th. I mean, no, I thought it was March. Sorry, March. This 27th.
Oh no.
Oh.
No. Yeah.
I'll be back in June, I think. Yeah, I'll be back in June, mid June.
Wait, where are you going in May?
Well, I'm going to China.
Oh,
China, Thailand. Yeah. Aren't you going to be there?
The end of April. I'm coming back for
right away.
For Book of Styles. Okay. Well, we're doing, so I'll be there with you in China at Crazy Dancing. And then the next weekend, I'm doing the Book of Styles and Planet Popping collab in Netherlands. But then I'm coming back here to prepare Soul Society and Book of Styles and the
Transformations
All Style Battle and all that. So that's that May 27th weekend.
Word. All right, for sure. Well, maybe next time.
Definitely. Yeah. definitely next time. We got to link up more and do some more.
Definitely. Yeah, bro, we won Just Debut together.
It's crazy.
People don't know. People don't realize like that. That was the event that changed the world of routines and also styles of the way people put things together. And,
yep.
Especially with the routines, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I mean, bro, I was so unaware of what we were doing, but the impact was so huge that, like, I look back and I'm like, damn, I was 21. You were probably, what, 23? Like,
22? Yeah, 20, yeah.
20, yeah, like, and we were doing routines that nobody was doing. Nobody was winning with, like, tuts and waves, really. Like, and we're still Americans that ever won Just Debut for popping.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Out of all those years, like, that's, I mean, I want more Americans to win, but it's just crazy that we're still the only two.
There's a lot of people who were either in attendance or watched that and started, Mary Poppins started dancing from that. She told me herself, Sadek.
Nah.
He was really inspired by what we were doing back then. So, like, yeah, I know a lot of big names were watching, and that's really dope. So, like, tying back to, you never know who you can inspire, and also tying back to the main point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I get that a lot. Like, even when I was at Summer Dance, the Wacker, Munya, she was like, the first year I went to Just Debut, I saw you, and she said, Jay Smooth, like, I get people saying that I just don't expect a lot, you know?
Imagine we kept doing those routines, though.
Oh, bro.
We might have been like choreographers or something, like all like straight up crazy, like choreo.
Dude, the tut wave speed change animated routines, game changers.
Even when we did it with fingers, the stuff we did with fingers. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the beginning of that.
The beginning, humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Kids with ideas.
Totally. That's really what it was. We were breaking rules, man.
Yeah.
So dope.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do something. We'll do something soon to just throw a curveball at the world.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
For sure. You guys have a good one.
Yeah.
I got to be off.
I'm
going to go on some errands, but much love. And we'll talk soon. Thank you guys for having me on.
No problem, bro.
Thank you.
Peace, bro.
Peace. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
All right. I'm going to jump off too, Zai. Thank you for today.
Well, thank you. That was amazing. We had a lot of people for different places. So let's meet the next
episode 8 coming next month. All right. So we're done. Episode 7. Are You a Real Popper? Future, Zai, Assassins, USA, Argentina, Mate for Life, and our theme song is not playing because my internet is turned off. Hold on. I have to play.
Okay.
Give me 2 seconds.
It's kind of
gotta go out with the theme song.
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day, Zai. Enjoy your mate.
Have a good
Talk to you soon. Bye.